what I thought about speaking tonight, or at least we don't, you know, it's not something that can be covered in one session, but at least starting the conversation around that, which we can probably carry on Friday with, is the very simple concept of what is an integral recovery program and how do we work it? So the sort of how of it, and the why of it. And perhaps also what is the benefit of working a integral recovery program? And I think also importantly, how does it differ from other programs? Not in the sense that we want to say it's better or worse in that way, but is it different? You know, because obviously if it's not different, what's the point of having it? And I believe that it is different to some extent. And I think it's important to understand the difference and acknowledge that. One of the main tenets of integral theory is Wilbur's sort of popular notion that everyone is right to some extent. And that I think is one of the main aims of an integral recovery approach, is to look at what is right in what other people also have to offer, not in the sense of saying, well, you know, we got a better method and they all wrong in that way. It's just let's look at the whole field and see what is right in what is out there, but also at the same time acknowledging what is limited in what's out there, and let's look at how we can put this whole thing together by using the best elements of all these various sort of recovery technologies that's available to us. So perhaps a good place to start really is to ask the simple question, what is integral recovery, or what is an integral recovery program? And I think for me, although it's sort of difficult to state it clearly, I think the easiest way to try and explain that is to make the difference between a normal therapeutic approach or methodology, let's say something like AA or even Smart Recovery or the many, many other different methods there are to recovery. What differentiates integral recovery from that is that in many ways, integral recovery isn't a method, which might sound like a strange thing, because obviously recovery is all about having some method and some practice. But what the integral recovery approach is really is a meta method, or a meta framework, or even a sort of meta paradigmatic practice really. And what that refers to is that it's a general framework, a sort of orienting generalized framework to place different recovery methods within. So in a way, integral recovery doesn't strictly adhere to a specific methodology. For instance, AA is to some degrees a philosophy about recovery, but it's got very clear practices. You know, if you don't do those practices, then you can't really say that you are working an AA program. And like I said, that differs a bit from integral recovery, because integral recovery hasn't got a list of, let's say, 10 or 20 practices that one has to follow. Otherwise, you can't call yourself an integral recovery practitioner. And I think from all the different recovery approaches that I've encountered, I haven't really seen another recovery approach that identifies itself as a meta framework, in the sense of that it combines various other methods in a very inclusive way, and then puts it together by using the meta theory of integral theory. And obviously what guides this whole approach is the ACWA model, or integral theory, or the integral model. And also that's exactly what the integral theory is. Integral theory is also a meta model, a meta framework that one can apply on different fields, whether it's climate change or war or, you know, whatever. And in this case, we've just been applying that in the field of recovery. So maybe before I go further, does that make sense? Is everyone with me on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So in a way, that explains what the framework is. And I think the aim, ultimately the aim of interval recovery, which is also what I find quite exciting about this whole thing, is that it's an evolving framework or evolving paradigm. That is not something that, you know, we've developed or indicate and say, well, this is what it is and this is the way it's going to be. Is that it's a very much an open-ended framework that will evolve as time goes along and as new recovery technologies come to light and new research come to light regarding addiction and recovery, these type of things will be integrated into the integral recovery approach. And I find that very exciting because, you know, one's always on the lookout for various practices that can synergistically contribute to this whole approach. And it also keeps it alive and organic and fresh. So as far as what is integral recovery or what does the integral recovery program suggest is that the way that I understand it is that people with this sort of overall framework to decide for themselves or decide with a therapist or a coach or a sponsor for that matter, what would be the best practices in various areas of their lives. And one of the benefits of the integral model, especially as far as it goes to understanding the human condition, is that it provides a very comprehensive map of really what it means to be human by highlighting, you know, most, as far as we understand, most of the dimensions of what it means to be human. And seeing that addiction is one, you know, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most comprehensive or holistic diseases is in the sense that it's a disease, if one wants to call it that, that really affects all aspects of one's being, not just the individual, but also the culture. You know, every addict is an addict within a culture. You can't use alcohol if there is no alcohol. So it's a very complex phenomena. And by using the integral map, we are highlighting more aspects of what it means to be human in the world. And I have to make that in the world very clear that to be human is to be part of the world. You know, none of us can exist as independent entities. So the integral map, as Ken Wilber likes to use the sort of Heidegger term of being in the world, highlights all these aspects of our being in the world. And because of that, it's going to provide us with a much more accurate map or more nuanced map of what it means to be human. Therefore, what it means to be human as an addict, and at the same time, what it means to be human as a recovering addict. So integral recovery really attempts to provide the most comprehensive map of what it means to be in recovery. What is recovery, you know, what would recovery look like in the various dimensions of our being in the world? Is that clear what I'm saying? You guys, any feedback on that so far?
Quite clear.
Okay. So the aim then is to look at the various practices that, you know, integral recovery as a general approach, the aim would be is to look at, to continuously look for that matter, to scan, you know, the recovery field in a way, to look at the various practices that's available to us as people in recovery that can be useful to one at a certain given stage of one's recovery development, and then combine those things synergistically. And one of the other things that integral recovery, in a way, is very good at, and not a lot of other recovery approaches really incorporate that so much, apart from maybe motivational interviewing that in many ways is a stage-based model that relies quite heavily on the idea of change in addiction and recovery, which is derived from the trans-theoretical model, is that integral recovery also acknowledges that people are at different stages of development at different stages of their recovery. That recovery looks very different when one is 2 weeks clean than it would look when you're a year clean, and it would look very different when you're 5 years clean, and it would look very different when you're 20 years clean. So apart from the aim of providing a comprehensive map of what recovery looks like, it provides a comprehensive map of what recovery looks like at any stage of our development as people in recovery. So in a way, it really provides a lot of maps because there's the vertical map, or rather the horizontal map, which scans the whole area of our recovery. And then at the same time, there's the vertical map or the developmental map that looks at how that horizontal area of recovery would look at it at a different stage of development. So the two main aims for somebody in the integral recovery program is to keep these two elements at the forefront, is to say, well, how would my recovery look like comprehensively in all areas of my life? And then at the same time, to ask the question, how would my recovery look in all of these areas at the level of development where I'm currently at? And obviously then the aim of an integral recovery coach or somebody that works for somebody like that would be to keep those two elements as one of the main frameworks of what it means to develop an integral recovery program for someone. And for somebody in recovery, those are two questions that, you know, one sort of asks oneself the whole time. But obviously, after a while, you don't really have to articulate it that clearly. That's just something that becomes part of one's way of viewing this whole process. You know, like Ken Wilber says, integral theory is psychoactive. You know, if you ingest it or sort of download it, it really starts changing the way you view things. And you know, I believe the same is for integral recovery. Is once you sort of download this approach, the way that you view recovery, and other people's recovery and what recovery means just changes. And that will obviously illuminate one's own process. So maybe before we start speaking about the actual practice of that, is there any questions you guys want to ask around just that introduction or any feedback on that or any concerns around that?
Guy, it's Sally here. I wonder if you could just explain again about the difference between horizontal and vertical.
Sure. If one looks at the quadrants, for instance, the quadrants in many ways, and some of the pictures of the quadrants have got a sort of slight developmental chart in it as well. But the quadrants would be seen as a sort of horizontal snapshot of what it means to be human, that we exist in these four irreducible realms, really. You know, the exterior and the interior of the individual, the exterior and interior of society and culture. So in many ways, that can be seen as a sort of horizontal map, in the same way that if you had a map on your table, one looks at it as if it's, you know, a horizontal surface and you're viewing the map from a bigger perspective. So from a horizontal perspective, the integral map would be a map that is just really well defined of all the areas that we exist as, and in this context, in recovery. So that would provide the sort of horizontal perspective, and that wouldn't necessarily... On that map, it wouldn't necessarily indicate, well, how would I look in 10 years' time or how did I look 10 years ago? It's sort of a moment in time. You know, this is how I look currently. And then the vertical approach is really, one could say, is that it's like, you know, many, depending on what time frame you're using, it's like either infinite or based on a month. You know, every month there's a different horizontal map that's sort of stacked on the other map that shows a different snapshot of all your areas at a different level of development. And when we speak of levels of development, you know, we're referring to the sort of Western notion that we all develop through these different stages of development. Generally, and obviously there's these sub-developments that happen that refer to as lines of development in integral theory. And obviously in recovery, there can be different lines of development. But just to keep it sort of straightforward for now, in general, one can then find yourself at a different level of recovery development, which is also fairly well articulated in the recovery field. People that have worked in that for a long time understand that quite clearly. So the vertical, you know, like I said, is really just a different snapshot of that horizontal map at a different time in the future. And it would look, that horizontal map would look different today at any given of these sort of snapshots. Does that make sense? Is that?
Yeah, I think so. So have I got this right then, that the horizontal is sort of in time, it's a snapshot, and the vertical is through time, and it can, you're looking at past and future and moving around.
Yeah, pretty much. So just on a sort of practical basis, it would be let's look at how your recovery practice or your recovery lifestyle looked at when you were a month clean. Then you would have certain practices, you would have certain ways of behaving, you would have certain ways of seeing the world, etc. And then let's look at it 2 years later. Then clearly there would be different practices. There might still be similar practices, but there would definitely be a different way of relating to the world. Or hopefully there would be, most people it would. So the if you had to fill it in just sort of practically, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, etc., and I'm behaving like this, and I'm thinking this. The two things that you fill in will look considerably different. And then what that would indicate is that there's been either progress or there might even be regression between these two different periods of time in one's life.
Okay, yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, this is Lisa. I have a kind of a question. Are you also talking about, like, for example, if you had two people in they're both 6 months in recovery, one is, I think it's orange, like pretty egoic, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm just making up an example, that, like, say it's a guy that's real, has a real tendency towards egotism, and then the other person is a female who's been wounded and horribly abused. Their stages of development or their placement on the spiral would be significantly different. So the approach on their quadrants and the methods used within those quadrants would probably be significantly different. And I think about, like, people who have gone into 12-step programs, especially women who've gone through rape and trauma in the early days of 12-step, and they'd come in and hear, shut your mouth and stick cotton in your ears. And it was traumatizing to them, whereas some guys who were pushing people around needed to hear that message, sort of like Dr. Bob did. So is that sort of a nexus too?
Yeah.
Like, not just the amount of time the person has, but the orientation on their spiral, or perhaps their type on the Enneagram and where they are with that. Like, am I in healthy 7 moving towards 5? Or am I in disintegration towards 1? Is that what you're talking about, overlaying?
No. So I haven't really at this stage included type of thing, because then it also becomes quite tricky. at this stage, what I'm sort of just referring to is looking at the notion of stages of recovery. So whether one is a different typology, so let's say the two people that you're referring to, in some context, both of them would be seen as a in an early stage of recovery. You know, whether they inhabiting a certain typology or not. Obviously, then what one will have to do as well to make this map comprehensive is then also bring in different typologies. So the treatment program for the female that you mentioned, the actual horizontal map, what it would mean to work a recovery program, would at the same time also look very different to the guy that you mentioned, what his program would look like. Although right. Both of them are at a similar stage of recovery development, you know. So once one brings in the idea of typologies, you know, then it becomes even more tricky. And then if you still bring in the idea of lines of development, which your recovery can be composed of many different lines, then it obviously becomes even more tricky. So in a way, you know, just to make the thing comprehensible, it's sort of good to look at different aspects and work through them one at a time and then slowly bring in the different elements of ACWAL.
Would the spiral dynamics be the vertical and the ACWAL yeah. quadrants the horizontal?
Yeah. That's
what I'm trying to get at. Okay.
Yeah. So all the Western developmental models and stages of recovery models would be seen as the vertical, and the ACWAL quadrants, the sort of flat map, would be seen as the horizontal. Yeah.
Got it.
And that would be the sort of two main axes of the whole approach, the horizontal and the vertical. But obviously, that being said, when you bring in the typologies and all the other stuff, then this map starts looking like a Jackson Pollock painting after a while, you know. So that's you know, in a way, that's a blessing and a curse, because integral theory is very good at illuminating the nuances of stuff, but at the same time, is when you're dealing with so many nuances and so much fine detail, it's also very difficult to sometimes navigate such a complex process as well. So there's a fine line between, you know, just becoming more detailed and complex, and then there's a fine line between crossing over where all this detail and complexity actually becomes overly confusing. And then when things become too confusing, then it makes no sense whatsoever. So that's definitely a fine line that people have to walk in integral recovery as well, and also people that use an integral recovery approach therapeutically. Yet, I must add, at the same time, if there is ways to work with this where really one doesn't have to overcomplicate stuff, because it also points out within this complexity that there's some very basic, simple, essential concepts that if one sort of sticks to, it sort of really includes, you know, all of these things. And certainly in my experience with working with addicts in treatment centers for many years, that's something that I had to navigate as a professional, is how do I, you know, you can't start doing a lecture with somebody with 2 weeks clean and start explaining the ACWAL model with lines, states, quadrants, topologies, blah, 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 how all these things interact. It becomes absolutely useless for most people. So the trick is to distill the essence of all of these things and make it presentable that it becomes practical. And what I've certainly found is that the essential elements really is sort of three ingredients. It's the idea of, you know, including all the quadrants in your practice, or being aware of that. And then the idea of that there's vertical development, and then an added thing to the vertical development is that one's various aspects of your recovery can also be at a different vertical development. And those three elements really, for me, is the sort of essence of an integral recovery program. If one incorporates those three things, then one pretty much has got it. And if you want, and then one can obviously choose to make the other things more nuanced and more detailed. But those are the three essential elements that need to be included to really call any practice an integral recovery practice.
Guy, would you please repeat those three elements?
The first element would be sort of derived from the quadrants, and that would depend on how one sort of divides up the quadrants. One could say that one would have practices, you know, in the upper right quadrant, upper left quadrant, lower right quadrant, and having practices in all these areas would provide a fairly comprehensive recovery plan. So that would be one element. The second element would be is that one could be, an individual could be at various stages of recovery, which is early recovery, middle recovery, late recovery, what I call high altitude recovery, and then also transpersonal stage recovery. So that's the second element, that there's a developmental approach. And then a sort of mix between the two, which is developmental and quadrant, is that each of these practices or each of these areas in these quadrants can also be at a different developmental stage. So, for instance, somebody can be physically well-developed at a high level of development, but emotionally they can be at a lower level of development. So that's a sort of combination of looking at the practices horizontally, but also acknowledging that the practices have each got a vertical aspect as well. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a sort of three essential elements.
Thank you. That's helpful.
So maybe, because we can obviously just touch on these things briefly today and expand on them more later. And I think that's one of the really interesting things about an integral recovery approach is this idea that recovery isn't just one sort of conglomeration. You know, it's not just one process. You know, my experience with my own experience and with working with other people is very often if you say to somebody, you know, how's your recovery? You know, ask somebody the question, how's their recovery doing? And their answer will indicate in many ways what they consider recovery to be. If you speak to somebody in AA and say, how's your recovery doing? You would say, well, you know, I'm handing over my will, I'm in touch with my feelings, and I'm really, you know, working on my resentments or something. If you speak to somebody that is very physically orientated, you would say, well, you know, I'm really healthy and I'm jogging a lot and I'm doing a lot of yoga. If you speak to somebody that's spiritual, then they'd say, yeah, it's good. I'm you know, working on transcending my ego and I'm doing a lot of meditation, et cetera, et cetera. So the concept of what recovery is very closely tied up with what people think one should do in recovery. And if somebody says their recovery is doing well, it's a very difficult thing to understand, because recovery isn't just one process. And if one looks at the quadrants, what Wilbur refers to as the sort of integral psychograph, what I call sort of recovery graph, is that each of these quadrants and the practices within the quadrants can each be at a different level of development. I personally like working with what I call six recovery dimensions, which indicate six sort of areas of recovery, the physical, the psychological, the existential, the social, and environmental. And my feeling is that each of these areas of recovery can be at different stages of development. And incidentally, that's one of the indicators of addiction, is that addicts in general, their levels of development are at very different places. You might find an addict that's very fit, you know, in physiologically, but emotionally they're poorly developed, or somebody that's spiritually well developed, but physically they got liver neurosis, cirrhosis, or somebody is very rich, environmentally got a lot of money, but spiritually they're very poorly developed. So these uneven lines of development is normally an indication of some pathology. So one of the aims of the integral recovery approach is to try and get some sort of congruency between these different lines, that all of these lines are at least functioning at a at an adequate level of development. So that being said, in a way, if one has to ask somebody in integral recovery, how's your recovery doing? It wouldn't be a sort of one sentence answer. It would be, obviously, nobody would really talk like that in real life, but the subtext would be as well, physically I'm doing pretty good, but emotionally I'm struggling. Existentially I'm really good, but socially it's not going that great. And environmentally I'm running into trouble, or et cetera. That one would differentiate between these different streams of recovery, which normally in the recovery world is seen as sort of one process. And I think what's really useful is that one can sort of specify which areas isn't working, and also specify which areas are working. I mean, one doesn't have to work on something that is really working well. And that gives one a more nuanced focus on various areas of recovery that one needs to work on.
I like how you put that, Guy. Makes a lot of sense.
Any other feedback on that before we cover something else? Okay, so practically, what would that mean in practice? Like, if I had to ask you, what is your integral recovery program? So essentially what that would mean is that one would have this sort of meta map that would illuminate the various aspects of one's recovery, whether one uses the idea of six recovery dimensions or lines or the quadrants, and let's just use the quadrants for sake of simplicity, then one would look at, is the practices that I'm currently having in my life, are they sufficient or substantial enough to provide my needs in the upper right-hand quadrant? If the answer is yes, then that one would say, well, that quadrant, my recovery in that quadrant is adequate. And then one would go to the other quadrants and do the same analysis. And one thing I want to add that I think is quite important as well is that each of these quadrants, what one also needs to understand, and what is not often articulated clearly, is that each of these quadrants also represent basic human needs. Each area of recovery represents a basic human need within that area. All of us have got physiological needs. All of us have got psychological needs. All of us have got existential needs. We have social needs. We have environmental needs in the sense of we need safety, we need security, etc. So each of these areas of recovery indicate very basic human needs that can be fulfilled in two ways, pretty much, if one uses a simple right or wrong classification. Is you can either have your physiological needs met or whatever needs met in a healthy way, or you can have it met in an unhealthy way. And in many ways, what addiction is an unhealthy way to have these different needs. So what an integral recovery process is really looking at all of these areas of our life, acknowledging the various needs we have in each of the quadrants on the horizontal map, charting that map, and then deciding what practices or lifestyle, what things in my life, everything shouldn't necessarily be a practice. Eating well doesn't have to be a practice. It can just be eating well as well. So am I having my needs met in these various areas of my life? And what practices do I need to add to that to have these needs met? And in essence, what a healthy integral recovery program is having healthy and life-sustaining practices and a lifestyle where all our needs are met in ways that's appropriate, not in a moral sense, but in a sense that, you know, we have a need for water. So obviously drinking clean water is a better way of having the need met than drinking fluoridated and dirty water, for instance. And the same goes for all these other dimensions. So in short, it's very important to also understand the quadrants and the various ways we classify the horizontal map as also an indicator of what it means to be human, in the sense that we have these needs in all of these areas. And that being said, that's one of the reasons I think that many people relapse, not everyone, but certainly a significant amount of people, is that the practices they have or the recovery lifestyle they have doesn't adequately address their need. And for an addict, when a need isn't addressed, whether it's a physical need or a psychological need or whatever need, their default mode of having any need met is by using. I mean, even something like when you're thirsty, you know, addict in early recovery, when he experiences thirst, the first thing that goes through his head is like, you know, I feel like using. And that might seem far-fetched, but there's a lot of research, even just physiologically, that correlates alcoholism with low blood sugar. So people confuse when their blood sugar drops below a certain level, they don't experience a craving for sugar necessarily. They don't experience, wow, I actually feel like my blood sugar is low, I need to eat something. What they experience phenomenologically is, I feel like alcohol. I feel like a drink, which is obviously not what they need. They need glucose. And because alcohol is full of sugar, their brain has associated alcohol with sugar and low blood sugar. And for certainly late stage addicts, virtually all of their human needs have been confused with using. So as soon as a human need arises, their brain will immediately convert that need to, I feel like getting high. And like I said, in many ways, that's what the recovery program is about, is finding other practices and a lifestyle to have these needs met, so that one doesn't have to revert to using or dysfunctional behavior, whether that's in the form of codependency or other addictions, to have these needs met. Well, I think I want to stop there because we don't have that much time. So maybe we can just finish off with some comments from you guys.
Yeah, it's Lisa here. I'm kind of early in the process, but can you hear me?
No.
A little bit soft.
Let me get up and move. Am I still making weird noises?
You're getting better.
Let me try speaker. Is that better?
That's better.
Better.
Great. What I've done so far, and what really helped me was when I started reading the book, is I went ahead, like you're talking about, Guy, laid out the actual quadrants and did an evaluation of where I was in each one first.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I did. And then as I developed practices and activities and resultant goals, because like in my lower right quadrant, there was financial issues that needed to be resolved. So budgeting became part of my quote-unquote practice. But first, once I saw where I was in each of the quadrants in reality and where I was out of balance, and then started developing the practices and goals and activities that would bring those quadrants more into balance, then I was more able to start informing those decisions about what those practices would be by starting to read about spiral dynamics and applying the fact that I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, and it didn't seem so complex once I just started with that basic aqual quadrant assessment. And so, like, when I knew I needed to address the physical, I knew being a 7 on the Enneagram, having some options of different kinds of exercise might be good. And that kind of took the complication out of it, was just starting with the evaluation of where I was on the quadrants and then building a practice informed by the spiral or other vertical aspects of Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Lisa, we lost you there.
Hello?
Lisa, wow. I lost the last couple of sentences.
Yeah, I just said that it was easier for me once I just evaluated where I was on the aqua quadrants, then started building a practice to address those shortfalls and imbalances that were I began to inform those decisions through understanding more about where I was on the spiral and what my type was, instead of overcomplicating it.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So a quadrants as a sort of horizontal map is always a good place to start from.
It helped me, because if it gets too complicated, man, I am out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. It becomes useless.
Yeah. Also, real quick, if anybody hasn't listened to the recordings on the website of Ken and John, they're awesome. They're discussing the whole integral recovery as it applies and all the different, the vertical and horizontal stuff. It's really good. You can download it.
Can I, it's Sally, could I ask a quick question about, I'm just thinking, I was talking to a friend who is a therapist in a drugs project, and she wanted to know how integral recovery is different. She knows a bit about spiral dynamics. And one of the models she uses in with her clients is she, you know, does this Wheel of Life thing. And I don't know if people, you guys know the Wheel of Life, but you basically draw a circle and you divide it up into roughly, say, 8 slices, and then you go through with your client, you know, they label the slices into slices of their life, physical, family, whatever they want to call it. And I suppose, well, her question was, well, if I'm doing that with my clients, how is that different to what you're doing? I suppose the answer to that is that unless she's bringing in spiral dynamics and lines and stages of development, it is still quite different.
Yeah. Well, that's a very important question, because a lot of people, a lot of methods bring in. I actually downloaded the thing on the chat box, a little graphic, if you guys want to have a look at that, that uses a similar way of looking at recovery from a sort of wheel perspective. But that's an important question, because there are a lot of people that include a quite a holistic or quite a comprehensive horizontal map of what recovery is. But that's only one aspect of integral theory, which is the quadrants. There's still another 4. So once one brings in the typology, lines of development, also states of development, and stages of development, and actually has the capacity to integrate all of these things together in one big picture, I think that's what makes it different, is the fact that you can combine all of these things in a framework that actually still remains comprehensible, which a lot of other approaches have got elements of and do really well. You know, they do very well at that. But very few of them have this extra meta approach that can actually tie everything together and also explain how these various elements interlink. I think that's the difference.
Yeah. And when you say typology, Guy, are you referring to the Enneagram, Enneatypes there?
Yeah, that's one of the typologies that's quite popular in the integral world. But there are many, many typologies. You know, obviously all of them won't be relevant to recovery, but there's many typologies that one can use to explain variations within a the same phenomena.
Okay, thank you.
I think we sort of getting to the end here. Any final comments before we finish off?
Can I just ask, sorry, it's Sally again, just one quick thing. You mentioned motivational interviewing, and I wasn't quite sure what you'd said about that.
Yeah. What I was, motivational interviewing is a sort of treatment approach that is derived from this model called the trans-theoretical model, or the full name, the trans-theoretical model of intentional behavioral change. Which is one of the few recovery-orientated models or addiction-orientated models that really place a lot of emphasis on the passing of time and how people look different at different stages of their recovery. And their main focus is motivation. So what do at different stages of recovery and at different stages of people's addiction, How do they have different levels of motivation at these different stages? So they focus on change, and they focus on this common denominator of motivational levels. So that's what I was just using them as an example of an approach that includes a sort of stage based concept within it.
Okay.
And they do that.
Sally, this is Heidi stepping in. John, actually, in his book, you can look in the index under motivational interviewing. He's actually got a really good thing in his book about it, where he runs through a scenario of using it with a client.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Heidi.
Sure. Yeah, it's cool stuff when you see it in action.
Yeah, for you. Have we run out of time, Heidi?
Yeah, well, it's 12:05.
Okay.
So we basically have. We started a little late, but basically, yes.
this is obviously a conversation, or much of a lecture, but really a conversation that can be expanded upon, you know, sort of indefinitely nearly. But I think what could be useful perhaps on Friday is for us to look at, you know, we've spoken quite theoretically here, which is necessary just to cover the overview. But what does all of this actually mean in practice? You know, when it comes to what does it mean when I go home tonight and I design my integral recovery program and I start practicing that? What does it actually mean, when the rubber hits the road, as John likes to call it? So what could be useful is on Friday, if we can actually look at our own experiences of what we are practicing, how are we doing that, which areas we feel we can do better at, which areas we're doing too much at, and that type of thing. And then we can maybe give each other feedback as relevant to our own particular practice or integral recovery program.
That's great.
Yeah.
Friday you're talking about, or next week?
Well, I suspect that it will probably boil over a bit, so we can start on Friday, and if we feel that we need to cover any particular element of it, we can possibly do that next Tuesday as well.
Yeah, I think this would be so cool to talk about our individual practices on Friday.
Yeah.
I have a feeling on next Tuesday, John's going to want to jump in and talk about integral recovery practice too.
But
it'll be so fun to talk about our individual practices, I think.
Sure.
And maybe we could do it this Friday, and if that part boils over, the next Friday also.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. That does sound very useful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, everyone.
Hey.
Thanks for
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Sure.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you Friday. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.